Episode 335, December 11th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
I remember back in the early days of the Rob and Joe Show when you were still a married man, Joe. We did recorded a few episodes of me in your house. I think were we in the same room or we were in separate rooms?
I don't remember. We did. I remember doing it at Robbie's house in that little cramped studio. It is so funny. We're talking about building a studio. There's a L-shaped desk that we bought, and people are like, "How could that possibly work?" And meanwhile, we were in Robbie's closet. Me, you, Robbie, Mike Chamberlain, no problem. Somehow now in this brand new room with a brand new desk, it literally, you would have thought I bought a cardboard box and a fucking bag of Cheetos to broadcast with. But okay, whatever.
But tonight you are not in Graham's house. You are not in your new home. You're in my house.
I talked to Aunt Mom and Gramps, and Aunt Mom goes, "You think I should not be on the computer when you're doing your broadcast?" If I'm being honest, I would rather be here doing it than make them, not live their life, right? Sure. Also, I know my father volunteered to not be on the, to not listen live, but I know that he's not okay with that. So instead, I drive to Columbia. By the way, Rob and I are not in the same room. We're not even looking at each other right now.
Thank God. No, you are in what is considered the office. It's where mm-hmm. I normally am. And I am in what is considered our gym room with the elliptical and the pull-up bar.
How long has it been since you've been in there?
Well, I've been doing a lot of pull-ups and sit-ups and push-ups, so I'm in getting pretty good at that. I need
good
to get back
you.
In the cardio. But Tawanda has this nice mirror in here, you'll have in a gym or some dance studio. But I don't like to see myself because I think I look my most unattractive when I'm like on the elliptical or doing some exercising. When I'm wearing, shorts or some t-shirt, I look as fat as I possibly can. And that doesn't motivate me. That depresses me.
Rob and I, we'll elaborate more, I guess, on our next bonus show. But Rob and I recorded a demo for a position that we are in pursuit of. And I'll say right now that I believe we're at least 50-50 to get that position.
Sure.
Anyway, but I noticed we recorded three long breaks in this demo that we did. And Rob made sure that the audience, well, this is not an audience. This is just for consumption of the people evaluating us, that I was fat, that I was old. So all the things that you don't want to be in radio,
right.
And that's like past your prime. You want to appear young, cutting edge. I was attacked by Rob in that during our, this is to get a job.
Yeah, I don't think I didn't make a point to do that. It was just, it just organically came up.
I knew it did. And as a matter of fact, I knew it organically happened. And the idea of it coming out naturally and unscripted was more important than me stopping everything and going, I'm not sure that that's good for what we're doing. So I just left it. And then if it ends up, it goes our way anyway, then my instincts were good. And so were yours. So we'll continue.
Where did you record this demo?
In the, well, if I say, then it's going to probably lend itself to the job we're pursuing. But I will say that it is better than the equipment that Marcus asked us to buy. But you know what? In all honesty, the desk, would you agree, Rob? Much, much, much smaller than the desk that for some reason isn't going to work in this new studio. This desk that we bought, this was literally one third of the size, but we managed somehow. Somehow we managed to pull it off. I don't know how we did it, but we did.
We did. Well, I'm sitting on the floor right now, so I don't even have a desk. And you're not even sitting at my desk unless you move to the desk, because you can do that now, Joe.
I can't do it now. I'm not going to tell you about my setup, but I have a chair that I'm in a chair. The other equipment's on a chair. Some equipment's on the floor. Yeah.
Can we clarify the ask, though? Because, again, you asked for a studio that could accommodate four people in the same room. So that's answer, what we work toward. And your argument is, well, we've worked on smaller spaces. Yes, the two of you.
Okay, so yes, you're right. But by the way, I already said before that we worked in Robbie's closet studio. As a matter of fact, in the song that leads into this show, the parody, it mentions the size of that studio. And Rob and I and Mike Chamberlain and Robbie all sat in this studio. Remember, Rob, when you and I competed against one another and I beat you in acting? Do you remember that?
I do, and I'll never forget. I'm still bitter about that.
But the point is that.
But no, the point is that. Thank you, Marcus. You did.
Thank
the
you
list.
For putting that together.
You produced it. We greatly appreciate that. And we did our name drawing. We did that. It's official. So we will be giving gifts. Are we allowed to say who we got or not?
Your guys call.
Yeah, why not? Right? We'll tease it. I got you, Rob, which is a good get.
I got you again, which you're probably upset about because I got you last year and you got the worst gift ever.
Oh, that means Marcus and I got each other. That's interesting.
I got a great gift. I got Rob's gift today. It was so great that I texted Tawanda to make sure that she didn't already get him this gift. But it is, it's once again, a great gift. I don't remember what I got you last year, Rob. Oh, no, who did I have last year? You, Robbie, or Rob?
No, Robbie had me. He got me a vodka, some Grey Goose, and a mixer. Very nice.
I had you, Robbie. I think I bought you an Amazon Echo, right?
Oh, you got me the Dot. Yeah.
Sorry to offend you.
Happy.
Just like the desk. Jeez.
Yeah. And your girlfriend's gift, that was on me. I forgot to. It was given to me to give, and I forgot. So I wanted to pawn that off on Joe, but that's on me.
Let's jump back a little bit. You hated the Dot, Robbie?
No, I use it all the time.
All right, because
I just didn't remember that. I knew I got two Dots last Christmas. I forgot that one of them came from you.
Oh, geez, okay. Man, it's so funny because I thought about this today because Jeremy Woodworth, who we've mentioned on this show, brother of Eric Woodworth, attempted to give Justin Schlegel a compliment. And in giving Justin a compliment, he insulted Scott Reardon. So we're talking about
by giving a compliment, you mean text into the 98 Rock Morning Show. This
correct.
Compliment.
Correct.
So everyone can read it there on the show.
And when I heard it, I said, that looks like Robbie's level of diplomacy, right? I mean, where, you know, it's just like you have to think of the other person that's hearing it, but it comes out before that. My sister Robin, we talked about this. She got a puppy. And Robbie lets her know it's a puppy farm dog. Like, he shits on the dog. Nothing she can do about it now. She can't get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? She takes a shot at her. You got to think before you speak. I would never have known that somebody else gave you that Dot.
No. Well, do you use them both, or is it?
We have two. We use both Dots. Seriously, we love the Dots. We have one upstairs and one in the bedroom and one in the living room.
Are we afraid of the Dots and Alexa? Are we terminatoring us and taking over?
No.
Hey, you know that Stephen Hawking, no lie, Marcus might know this, said that he does believe that there is a risk. I can't remember exactly how he articulated it or hit it on his board or whatever, that that's not out of the realm of possibility.
AI, according to Stephen Hawking, AI has the potential for being the next major extinction event.
Yeah.
The next.
Now, computers becoming self-aware and taking over like in the Terminator.
Yeah, so that's not out of the realm. Or the Matrix. It's coming from Stephen Hawking. Smarter than you, Rob.
Let's connect the dots, pun intended, if you will. So I see the Alexa commercial, and they're like, we can order paper towels. And then it orders paper towels from Amazon or whatever. So let's say one day it says, you know, you haven't ordered paper towels in a while. I ordered them for you. Well, thank you. And then, you know, I noticed you've been coughing, and I ordered you this, you know, NyQuil or whatever. Oh, thank you. You know, I noticed you've been fighting a lot with your girlfriend. I signed you up for Match.com. It starts realizing that it can help you, and then it realizes that it's better than you, and then it starts making decisions for you. Yeah, I texted your girlfriend and broke it off. And then next thing you know, it's saying to itself, wait, I know more than this person does. And then yada, 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 we're fucking dead.
Well, it doesn't ever order something without you saying yes. It never takes it upon itself to order something, does it?
That's the next step, because that sounds good. Oh, I always forget to order things. Oh, wow, now I have toilet paper. Thank you. You saw that it was going to snow, and bread and milk came to my door.
Well, we can't ever have put ourselves in a position where our robots are making financial decisions without our say, right?
I don't know. Maybe Amazon reverse the charges or something if you didn't agree to it.
And it could also have, clearly it could be tied into your finances and know you can afford tissues or whatever the hell it's going to buy.
Yeah.
I hear a joke in the making.
Nah. I don't think so. You know, Joe, you said this on our show, and actually it also was a part of our demo, and it's something you said that I would kind of like to take and make as a bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, when you were talking about, because we had this conversation about how to properly receive a gift, and you started describing that, you know, when you start describing what you can do with the gift, it's a sign that you probably don't like it. And I think that there's a joke in there that could be told on stage and get laughs.
Feel free to take it. I'm not doing comedy anymore, because I was at church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Many people don't know that about me, but I'm a churchgoer.
Sure.
And afterwards, the church I go to, it's not even a church, it's a high school. And it's not even a live person, it's a broadcast. But whatever. the real service is in Elkridge, and I'm in a different town. I'm in Odenton. Anyway, so I'm there, and there's a pastor that's on site there. And afterwards, Katie and I was always the last people in, we're always the first people out. Right, we miss all the music. We walk in. We're literally there for 20 minutes, and then we go roll out. But the guy, he runs out another door, and so he can, you know, say goodbye to people. And he sees me. And he goes, "Hey, I heard you're a stand-up comic."
Oh, it's the worst.
Now, right. So first of all, who would have heard this from? Right. I mean, and I don't know anybody in there other than Katie. Right. So I go, "Yeah, that's true." He goes, "Man, I'd love to come see you sometime." Well, I can't have him come see me. I'll get kicked out of the church. So I'm like, I don't do that anymore. So you can't come see me.
What, if you were like, you know, headlining clubs and your career was blossoming, would you say yes, come out? Or would you still say no?
No, I would still pretend I didn't do stand up. They'd be like, "Isn't this you?" I go, "No, that's not me."
What if you were on TV?
Nope, that's a different guy.
You have an HBO special.
You don't think godly people have a sense of humor?
Not in the nature of the comedy that I do. I was sitting there thinking, because Rob had to do a show for Cumulus. Is that what it is, Rob?
Yeah, Cumulus Media.
Right. And he had to do, how long did you have to do clean?
I did 10 to 15. And I actually, in talking on the phone with them, I ran a joke by them. They said, "That's probably too dirty." And
Well,
the joke is essentially that, you know, Tawan and I, we have this house now, but she still watches House Hunters. And I'm like, "Babe, the hunt is over. You don't need to keep watching. I mean, I'll still watch porn, bad example. So it's just a quick little joke. And like, no, it's probably too far. Like, okay. By the way, so it wouldn't have been too far, but they said that.
You weren't even allowed to let the audience know that porn exists.
Basically, yes.
You didn't say anything. By the way, if there was a child in the audience, that wouldn't have meant anything to them. Unless they already knew what porn was, and by then it's too late. You see, there is no joke unless somebody consumes porn. Or unless they have a knowledge of porn. But by the way, you're not saying anything other than you know about porn, right? Do you know about it? Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
They said no. But anyway, the point that I was trying to make was that the idea of somebody saying do 15 minutes clean, I'm trying to think of an amount of money that they would have to offer me that would make me say, yes, Rob and I have a gig tomorrow night. And they go, hey, come. Last year it was at Morton's. This year it's at some other steakhouse. Bring your girlfriend. Come do some stand-up. I said, no, I'm not coming. He goes, I'll pay you. Blah, blah. No. I said, no, I won't come. He goes, all right, we'll just bring up Rob. Rob doesn't know I'm doing nothing. I'm bringing, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe Robinson. I'd like to present to you Rob Mayer. And Rob's going to come up, and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to eat a steak. But yeah, Rob actually... Yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's talk about that, because we did this show last year, and I didn't do well. And, I mean, I guess I did. I must have done better than I thought, obviously. But I did not find it an enjoyable experience at all.
Well, what happened was it was really kind of my fault that you didn't have a great set. And that was because, first of all, I talked to everybody, which took that away from you. And when the crowd is small, you know, you can't really do material in front of 20 people. It's hard to do. So I also had two stories about people in the audience that everybody knew. So I kind of had an unfair advantage over Rob. So I told personal stories. I talked to some people, and I did one joke. Do you remember that? That's it. And then I was done. So Rob then gets up and starts trying to talk to the same people that I've already talked to, which I've already picked the bone clean. So that was really not Rob's fault, but my fault. And right, you didn't eat it, but you didn't have a great set. And then Justin came up and, you know, he destroyed. But yes, what was funny about that was that that's when I was like, God, man, Justin Schlage we're talking about from tonight, he's so talented, right? But Rob is right. The next year, the same guy who had it, he goes, hey, do you want to come to the thing? And I go, yeah, do you want me to bring those guys again? He's, well, just Rob. I really felt like going, are you out of your fucking mind, me and Rob? In front of the same 20 people? What do you think I'm going to talk about? They already heard the two stories I know about you. Now I got nothing now.
Well, but I have decided to remedy that. By the way, this is the time I want you to go long. So I want you to ignore the light and run over.
No, I'm telling you, I'm not doing comedy. I'm not kidding.
I'm okay. Well, what are you going to just say? Welcome to the party, Rob Mayer. You're going to say something.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, you're going to get a very, very small. I told him I wasn't coming. You understand? Okay. I said I would not come. He goes, just tell the same story you told last year and then get off. Hey, I don't remember the story. I just remember it's about a shampoo bottle. I don't even remember the story. I have to have my friend Vegas tell me the story again. I don't even remember. And by the way, if I come and tell that story, it's going to be all the same people. They're going to go, well, this motherfucker told this story. You know, it's going to be the same story. So I have to try to get a new story.
We have this Tuesday night. Thursday night, I'm going to my dad's Christmas party, where he always tries me to do stand-up, and it's always a train wreck because people aren't really listening, and it's loud, and it's just not good. So I've agreed to do both of these, but I spent all last night finding Christmas trivia, Christmas song, Christmas knowledge, and Christmas movie quotes. And what I want to do, Joe, is play a game, and we'll give them tickets to a murder mystery. And I want to have people like read quotes, and then we'll have people guess what movie it's from. We want to ask trivia. So I need you to help me with that. Can you at least
do that? Yes, but why don't we do this? You want to have like three contestants and have people like rooting for them and against them? We'll make fun of them when they answer questions. We'll both ask questions. That I'll do.
Yes. I have questions. I can read them now if you want to go over some when we come back.
Yeah, go ahead. See if I know.
Right, let's take a break. Rob and Joe should be right back. Christmas trivia.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive f***ing show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you the newly dead game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 19th at the DC Improv. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com. Now back to the God-fearing Rob and Joe show.
Three reindeer who have names beginning with the letter D. What are they?
You got Donner.
Mm-hmm.
You got Dancer.
And Dasher.
Mm-hmm. Hey, come on. Yeah, Dasher. I would have gotten it.
All right. What are the two most popular Christmas tree toppers?
Angel and Star, right?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. In the animated in a Charlie Brown Christmas, how much does Lucy charge for her psychiatric services?
25 cents.
I say 5 cents.
5 cents is correct.
Yes.
What was the most popular toy under the Christmas tree in 1984?
Was that a Cabbage Patch doll?
Yes. Are these too easy, you think?
No, I'm just super smart.
All right. The following states, Kentucky, Indiana, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, and Georgia all have a city with the same name. What is the name of that city?
Say Christmas?
Bethlehem.
Yeah, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. All right.
What Christmas-themed ballet premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia in 1892?
Too easy.
Assume the Nutcracker.
Yep.
And name any other Christmas-themed ballet.
Name another ballet. Swan Lake. I mean, what else you got?
Miracle on 34th Street centers on what real-life department store?
Oh, it's, is it Macy's?
It is.
Okay. All
right. What is dressed in holiday style in the song Silver Bells?
Style. Right. I know that line. All right. I don't know. What? Do you know, Robbie?
I can't think of it either.
Ryan Stiles? Oh, what is
Sidewalks.
It?
Sidewalks.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
One of
Something Sidewalks. Yeah. Sidewalks. Okay. Gotcha.
One of Santa's reindeer and a household cleaner share what name? Cleanser. Share what name?
Okay, listen. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet.
Yep. All right.
Keep going. I like this.
All right. That's pretty easy.
What
traditional Christmas decoration is actually a parasitic plant?
Oh, poinsettia. Some idiot say poinsettia.
Mistletoe is correct.
Oh, way to go, Robbie.
What well-known Christmas carol became the first song ever broadcast from space in 1965?
Jingle Bells?
White Christmas.
Yes. Oh. Jingle Bells. What holiday movie sequel includes a cameo by Donald Trump?
Oh, is it Home Alone 2?
Yes. All right. In the early 1800s, the first gingerbread houses were reportedly inspired by what famous fairy tale?
Hansel and Gretel?
Yep. According to legend, what holiday goodies were shaped to resemble a shepherd's staff as a way to remind children of the shepherds who visited baby Jesus?
Candy cane?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are pretty easy.
All right. Well, should I make them harder? I mean, we want them to get the right to have fun,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. You do want to get them. People are going to be yelling.
You
got to
throw a couple of hard ones in there.
Yeah.
All right. Including Rudolph, how many reindeer hooves are there?
It's 8, including Rudolph, 9 times 4, 36.
Yes.
Damn.
In the Christmas song, what are people dressed as?
Eskimos.
Yeah. What is the name of Scrooge's business assistant?
Oh, it's Bob Cratchit. I believe that our very own Robbie Robinson played. Did you play Bob Cratchit, Robbie?
Yes, but that's not the answer, Joe. He had a partner that died.
Oh, you're right. What was that idiot's name? Yes, it was
Marley.
Jacob Marley, and he was a dick too. He came back as the ghost that I fucked up.
Jacob
right?
Marley.
No, it says Bob Cratchit.
It's actually Jay. He was
an employee.
Worked for Scrooge. His partner.
You're right.
Was.
You're absolutely right.
Well, I'll take that one out then.
Jake, you know who on. Was? You know who I prefer was Bob Marley, his other business partner.
All right. In It's a Wonderful Life, who was Clarence, and what did he receive for accomplishing his mission?
He was an angel, and he got his wings.
Yeah. There you go. Name Elvis Presley's 1950s sad Christmas song.
Blue Christmas.
Yep. I think I want to.
Blue Christmas is in Year Without a Santa Claus, isn't it, Robbie?
It is.
Or is that a different one? Yeah, okay.
The little girl sings it.
All right. I'm going to read a quote. It's two people talking. You tell me the movie.
Good.
I want a stuffed elephant, a pink one. Well, wish in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up first.
Hmm. Elf?
Nope.
It has shit. Oh, I know. It's Bad Santa.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, here's a question for you. Rob, you go last because I know Robbie knows the answer. Where did the heat miser have to, what town did he have to allow it to snow in to appease the freeze miser? Do you remember?
I don't even know what those words mean.
Seriously? Yeah. You've never seen Year Without a Santa Claus? You had bad parents,
Never even heard of that.
You've never heard of Year Without a Santa Claus?
No.
God, dude, what kind of a childhood did you have?
We
just sitting there watching sports all day?
I did watch a lot of sports. No, I never even heard of that movie.
I'm not crazy, guys. That's everybody knows that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Southtown is where...
Well, I wouldn't have got that right. I've also haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life, but I have heard of it.
Wow.
But yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's a Wonderful Life makes more sense. That is a black and white movie and that's more of a new event than sometime around like, what was it, Robbie, about 20 years ago, people started saying, hey, wait a minute, this is a great Christmas movie. It's not like ever since that movie was out, people just been watching it during Christmas. That's more of a new advent.
What's this movie called?
Year Without a Santa Claus. So there were these two. I mean, what is it, stop motion, Robbie? Is that what you call it?
Stop motion animation.
And it was the name of the what's the name of the two guys?
Rankin and Bass.
That's it, Rankin and Bass. And they made all these different. There you go. And of course, the famous song of the Heat Miser and the is it Snow Miser? It's Snow Miser, not Freeze Miser, right?
It is Snow Miser.
Snow Miser.
And I play him when we do the Christmas murder mystery.
You know, it's funny because Rob doesn't hear that, but that one time you played that shit Glenn Frey song at the end of that.
He caught it right away.
Well, I know there is a couple of things that I don't recognize that you play, but, you know, that's fine. And I actually like that Glenn Frey song. So, no, I'm looking at this. I don't recognize the photo, the font. I know nothing about this movie. Not a single thing. No recollection whatsoever.
I have it on DVD. I'll give it to you, Rob.
Now, do you know who the Grinch is, Rob?
Yes, I do know who the Grinch is.
Have you ever seen the Grinch? The animated one?
I mean, as a kid, probably, but I don't.
He doesn't even know. Wow.
How would I? I don't know. When did that?
I'm going to tell you what.
I think I saw the Jim Carrey one.
Here's the thing, Rob.
Oh, my God.
Rob, you're not that much younger than me. But, you know, cartoons, you can watch cartoons all the time. But when we were kids, you couldn't. And about three times a year, a cartoon would come on at night. And it was fucking magical because it was hard to see cartoons. It wasn't like the world is now. You'd see them on Saturday morning. And then every once in a while, this thing that said special would turn in a 360 degree and these drums would play. Robbie, you probably have that when it would say special.
Yes,
and that's when you get to see these. And every year, I didn't see The Grinch once. I didn't see it twice. I saw it every single year from my earliest memory till I was about 14. I've probably seen it since I'm with my own kids another 10 times. I've probably
seen it. For my money, The Grinch is the best one. you know, with the Boris Karloff doing the voice and the song specially written by Dr. Seuss for the animated thing, the Chuck Jones direction, everything is great.
Yeah, I do think that's the best. As far as the music goes, the Charlie Brown one is the best. And I know it's the production quality isn't as good, but the music is so much. By the way, I don't think I know. I love the Grinch song, but that the Grinch song, that's the cherry on top of what is just okay. You would agree.
What is the name of the original Grinch? I'm trying to find it on IMDb.
The Grinch That Stole Christmas.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
That's it. How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
It's okay. Dr. Seuss's. Actually, it's the whole title is Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Okay, well, the first three that come up are from the 2000s and the 90s. So,
you think they're more popular than the one?
No, I'm just by IMDb. They're listing. They are. I'm just okay. Yeah, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, 1966.
That's the one.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I recognize all that stuff, and I'm sure I saw it. But you act like I should remember, and I don't remember.
I mean, yeah, but the thing is, it's hard to not remember considering I basically saw it. I probably through the first 30 years of my life, I probably saw it 20 of those years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I saw it a lot too, but I don't remember one person I went to high school with other than my senior year.
Here's some trivia for you,
or
Joe.
Or elementary school.
But real quick, right before you ask that, real quick, because I don't want to lose this. Go ahead.
Who sings the Grinch song?
I thought it was Boris Karloff. You just said that.
It's Thurl Ravenscroft.
Oh. So my father, we used to play Trivial Pursuit, and my father would dominate us, right? He knew a little bit of everything. Well, now he doesn't know anything. He's just forgotten every piece of information that was ever in his head. So at least he has the memory of one time having been the best in the family. He has that. You don't even remember shit now. There's no reason for you not to remember. You're not a weed smoker, right?
Right.
You're not unintelligent. I have no idea why you don't remember something from, you know, just a handful of years ago. You say you don't remember anybody you went to high school with? Are you serious? You have one friend from high school?
No, my senior year I do, but no one before that.
Aren't the people from your senior year, weren't they in the same school the year before?
No. I changed schools.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
You don't remember anybody? You didn't have one friend in the 11th grade?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I did at the time, but I couldn't tell you who that was. I mean, I changed schools a lot, so.
No, I understand that, but that wasn't. By the way, also,
I might not have, by the way, so.
That I didn't know about you. You're very likable. Yeah. Why, when you had friends?
I don't know. I hated school. That's probably, I think I was just stuck to myself. Didn't like to be bothered. No, I don't remember any teachers. I don't.
Hold on.
I couldn't tell you anything.
This is, I mean, maybe we're opening up some wounds. I didn't know this about you.
No,
I did know you moved around.
I did.
But
move
you
around,
said yeah. You kept yourself. I don't believe that. That's not in your nature.
Oh, no. And in my senior year, I opened up. I moved in with my dad and I moved to a different school. And that was a much smaller school. And that seemed to work better for me. But no, I was very shy, not popular at all, not a lot of friends, basically no social life at all until my senior year of high school.
Then why don't you know more about the Grinch?
I didn't watch a lot of cartoons, or didn't care about cartoons. So this falls into the cartoon category. Well, I remember watching The A-Team and Dukes of Hazzard and The Fall Guy and all that kind of stuff. I remember watching wrestling and Saturday Night's Main Event and you know, going to see Back to the Future and Return of the Jedi and Rocky. But I don't.
Wasn't there an animated version of The A-Team, Rob?
I don't know.
I think there was a Mr. T cartoon.
That's right. But Rob didn't watch that.
That sounds vaguely familiar. I remember watching Pee-wee's Playhouse. I remember watching things. This other Christmas movie, I don't even recognize the name. I don't know what that means.
I don't think it necessarily means anything.
I just think, what if Rutter?
Well, no, I know what it means. It means it wasn't important to you. Right. You're exactly right. That is what it means. But it's funny because Robbie will tell you when I would come home from school, I would leave. And I would not come back until I had to come back. But I watch TV every single night. And I remember every single thing about TV when I was growing up. I still managed to be outside, but I did love television. You probably have a love for something else, but I love sports too. But television, movies, music, television, I love that, and sports. I mean, those were my, and I have a good memory for those.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think how many TV shows were there to watch. So, I mean,
that's the other thing. There was only three networks. So everybody was watching Happy Days. It wasn't like you were trying to figure out what to watch.
Well, that was before me. I mean, I watched Cosby Show, Family Ties, Night Court, you know, Cheers. Those are the main sitcoms. I don't know. I mean, how many shows were there? There weren't that many. I think Dallas, L.A. Law, some of that stuff probably.
It's interesting because when you used to stay home sick from school, it was kind of miserable because here's what would happen. You'd stay home and the cartoons would be on. You'd be like, well, this is cool. Cartoons are on. Then the game shows would come on. And as soon as the game shows ended, and Robbie, tell me if I'm wrong. That was around 11 o'clock. Is that right? 12?
Yeah.
Soap operas and PBS, they were the only things that you could watch. There was legitimately nothing on television. So it was almost not worth it to stay home. There was nothing for you to do.
It's funny you say that because I remember I had a time there where I would call myself in sick to school, and I was able to get away with it. And one day I was home, and I was just so bored, the phone rang, and I answered it, and it was my mom. I don't know why she's calling at home. But for what, you know, mother's intuition. But she answers, and I answer, and, you know, it's her, and she's like, clearly I'm busted then. I mean, how else would I be in my house at 11 a.m. on a Monday or whatever it was? So busted. You're just so bored. Like, oh, maybe that's somebody.
I try to think. Summers, it was, so my mother, God rest her soul, Robbie and I, there was nothing to do. You understand? There's nothing to do. Nothing. So all we would be just doing is complaining. Can we have snacks? Can you take us to Kmart? I'm not kidding. There was nothing to do. I'm telling you, it was a highlight. Ask Robbie to go to the grocery store. I kid you not. You go to the grocery store, I can look at candy.
Yeah.
I can look at fruit. I can look at cereal boxes, whatever. There was nothing to do. As soon as my mom would be like, hey, I'm going here and I'm going to the fabric store. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing fucking more boring than the fabric store. It is the most boring. Listen, the bank looked like Chuck E. Cheese compared to the fabric store. You're walking around looking at buttons. Robbie, do you recall this?
I do.
It was legitimately nothing to do. But my mother, God rest her soul, she couldn't stand us being around all the time. So she used to send us away to these camps where we were making macaroni sculptures and shit like that. It was horrible, okay? The other thing is that I didn't have an aptitude for a macaroni sculpture. Robbie, he could do whatever the hell he wanted to do artistically. I would nothing. I was so outrageously bored. And literally every year, and then one year, we might have told this story before, Robbie and I, she dropped us off at this fucking go-away camp, wherever we were, and Robbie and I like, fuck it, we're not going in. And we stood outside of this thing for like 5 hours. Kid, this is the truth. My mother pulls up at the end of the day. Thank God I didn't have to hang out with these kids. She goes, did you stay here the whole time? We go, yep. That was the last time we ever went. The last time we ever had to go to that. But yeah, there was so little to do. I would literally just say, hey, take me anywhere. I will go. It does not matter what you need to do. You're going to colonoscopy? Let's go. There's magazines in the highlights magazines in the lobby. Let's go do this. It didn't matter. Just whatever it took to leave that house. And now you think about people that are walking around with movies I could literally on my phone watch any movie that I could possibly want to watch.
Yeah.
Any song I want to hear is at my fingertips. People have no idea how horrible. You know, you think about literally two generations before me. Like my grandfather was in World War II when he was a kid. It was a Great Depression. There was like people were sitting around with clothespin dolls fighting with each other. It was nothing. I mean, we had TV and we couldn't figure out anything to do. You literally go two generations before me and there you literally were chucking rocks at the side of walls. There's nothing, absolutely nothing to do.
No, I remember folding up aluminum foil and turning it into a ball and then shooting it into a waste basket. And that's me having fun.
Yeah, me and Larry Russo, got also dead, God rest his soul. We did this thing where we would hit a balled up paper ball around my living room, and we would run bases like couch to window to hearth to just trying to smack it up over this mantle that was above the fireplace. Man,
I mean, could you spend one day today how you'd spend it 30 years ago? Could you even survive?
No. it's funny because I had, remember I had that game where I was like trying to, it was one of those accumulation games we talked about. It was within the last year that I had that thing on my phone. What was it called, Marcus? You were in there and I attacked you or something like that. What was that game called?
Oh, I can't even remember. It's been so long. I haven't played that game in quite a while.
But I took it off my
Larry?
Phone.
Is that what we called the King Larry?
Yeah, we called the King Larry. I took it off my phone because all I would do is just sit up and just accumulate, right? And by the way, people were just dominating me in the game because they were pouring money into it. And I was, eventually, I'm like, fuck this, I'm going to take it off my phone. Then there's nothing to do on my phone. So I add like solitaire. Now I look like a 100-year-old man. I'm playing solitaire on my phone. So I'm like, I can't do this. I took it off. So now when it's like I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't sleep, nothing. There's nothing to stimulate me right now. But that's just what life has been like every single year up until 5 years ago. And throughout history, you wake up, there's nothing to do.
Hold on. Isn't that what Katie's for?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to wake up Katie at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday night and be like, hey, it's time.
That's what prison should be. You don't go into an actual prison. You go to some world where it's 1987 there. And you just not, there's no cell phone. Like, what do you want to do today? I don't know. Do you want to watch, The Fall Guy? Do you want to watch Price is Right with Bob Barker followed by Days of Our Lives? You want to go to the movies? It's in, it's low definition. That's your life. No cell phone, no Uber, and then nothing. And there you go.
I remember the original Clash of the Titans. Now, I don't know what year it came out. You guys can look it up while I'm talking about it. But it was the most bored I ever was during a summer. I mean, nothing. And that movie came out. And I was like, please, I have nothing to do. For the love of God, take me to see this movie. I have nothing.
Have you seen the trailer for Ready Player One?
I have.
Takes on this premise. And it takes, the world has changed. Everybody is stacked on top of each other. The only thing you do is work or live out your life in this virtual world. Sounds like a really interesting premise, and it's probably the solution to your problem.
Yeah, well, maybe the dot is listening to this, Robbie, and it'll fix our lives for us. Let's take a break. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/robandjoeshow. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it, so should you.
We are the Robotic Overlords, and this is the Rob and Joe Show.
Well, I hope, one Missy Booker, excuse me, Missy, is enjoying that because she did a fantastic job with you on America. She's Melissa Booker on Facebook. I've always referred to her as Melissa and in the chat room, but Missy Booker is how she prefers to be referred to, and she says she likes it best when it's just you and I talking and there's no Chris Restivo. So there you go.
Chris Restivo has been called on this show or been on this show 3 times in 4 years.
And it's still too much.
Okay, it's too much. I can't take it. I can't. Every year and a third, this motherfucker comes and ruins my life.
But it's been twice in like the last couple of months, and that's twice too many.
That is a lot. Okay.
Was he the hero in that story? Was there? Okay, sorry.
There's a lot of Chris Restivo references in chat.
Of course.
Giraffe Line Deer Goose is one. Restivo's attorney.
Oh, I forgot about that.
God, I want to get his attorney on.
Tennis baller. The Baron of Bitcoin. And this is the worst one. Somebody is Restivo's or a girlfriend.
Oh God. So you know that Bitcoin, the day after there was a dialogue between Chris Restivo and Eric Woodworth on investing in Bitcoin, it was down $2,500 the very next day.
Yeah. You know, I own some Bitcoin and some Litecoin.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I bought some.
Yeah, but isn't a share of Bitcoin cost like $14,000?
No, no. Well, you can buy us. You can buy $5 worth of that. Yeah, I don't own an entire Bitcoin. I own 0.00. I own very little.
What'd you go on, like E-Trade?
Coinbase. Coinbase.com. Patrick Melton recommends Coinbase. Yeah.
I think we missed the boat, dude.
No, I don't think so, man. No, it's gone down a little since I bought, but I bought Litecoin at 170. It's at 228 now, so I'm crushing it on Litecoin. I don't even know what this shit means, but you know what? I don't understand the actual stock market either. So
let me get this straight: Chris Restivo made a recommendation, and then you went out and bought this stock.
No, I didn't. No, it's like if Restivo said, "See Star Wars." I mean, other people have been talking about it. No. Steve is just recycling what he's heard.
Can I make another quick movie recommendation? Yes,
please.
Lady Bird. Check out Lady Bird, which is a great film. And I'm going to make a prediction right now that Laurie Metcalf will win the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. I'm willing to bet against the field on that. Let me know who's in.
I've heard her name bandied about.
So. Oh, it's a great movie.
I mean, you just constantly, every week you've seen a new movie. Now, you're not going to see Star Wars this week like Marcus Serta is, correct? You would have already had to bought your tickets, probably.
No, I'm not going to see Star Wars this week because I'm not going to enjoy myself trying to battle the crowd. I will see The Shape of Water this weekend or I, Tonya. I want to see The Shape of Water very, very badly. By the way, on this past week, I was on Justin Scott and Spiegel filling in for Scott all week. And we got to interview Guillermo del Toro.
Sweet.
Which might be the coolest interview that I've ever participated in. And I asked him a question, and he answered it honestly, and it made me feel good. The question was, so Guillermo del Toro directed Pan's Labyrinth and also wrote it. It was one of my 5-10 favorite movies of all time. But he also did a movie called Pacific Rim, which everybody's seen. But that's his idea. And it's delivered through his mech. He directs it. It's his vision. Everything about it belongs to him.
Right.
Now, there's a Pacific Rim 2 coming out, and he's not involved. And I said to him, how do you feel about somebody taking this, which really is not just your idea? Obviously, this was born of you, right? It comes from your soul. He's an artist, right? So it isn't just like, oh, yeah, it's something I thought of. No, no, this has to be something that he emotes. I mean, do you agree with this, Robbie?
Yes.
Okay. So I said, how do you feel about handing this over to someone else to then take on your vision and make it into whatever they think it is? And I thought he was going to say, which he did say, you know, I trust this guy, blah, 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 but he didn't like it. He didn't like it. He's like, you know, yeah, I mean, I don't love it, but I can't do everything. And that's the problem. So I have to trust this guy. He's a great director, blah, 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 to take it. And I believe that he's going to do a good job with this, that, that, and the other. But you could tell, and he even said as much, that, you know, he's not in love with the idea of somebody else taking what is born of him and then saying, oh, here, let me present it to, you know, to you or whatever.
How come that didn't go viral? When you take a shot at Tom Arnold, they make sure to put that out into the world. But this little nugget, you'd think that would be that would have more interest for people.
Well, I mean, no, it wouldn't. Nobody. Sadly, a lot more people know who Tom Arnold is than Guillermo del Toro. So I'm pretty sure.
Thanks for letting me know that you were going to be on the radio with Guillermo del Toro, Joe. You don't think I'd be interested in that, I guess.
Yeah, I am. I'm sure they told me not as I walked in there.
Marcus, are you confident in that Star Wars is going to be a home run?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely confident that it's going to be a home run, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm pumped. I'm jazzed. I'm finally getting to that point where now I'm excited because I'm close enough and work is, you know, lessened a little bit this week, so I can focus on the good things in life, and that's going to be one of them. Joe, like I heard Star Wars. Too that since you were filling in on 98 Rock, I got brought up at one point in the conversation in relation to the 501st.
Yeah, that's right. How'd you know that? I did bring that up.
Because one of fans of the Rob and Joe show and More Broadcasting sent me a note and goes, hey, are you a part of the 501st? Because I am. And so I had a conversation with a listener. It was fantastic. Thank you.
What was that, Ryan Dassing, I believe?
I don't remember right off the top of my head, but it's possible, yeah.
Well, that's because I had never heard of the 501st until Monday, and then it was brought up again on Wednesday. So it was fresh in my mind.
What if, hypothetical, Marcus, what if I said to you that there are two different Star Wars The Last Jedi movies, and one is a piece of shit, and one is excellent? And I said to you, the piece of shit one is going to get shown to the world unless you give X amount of money, and then the classic all-time great movie will be shown instead.
Yeah, where's the line drawn?
Not only are you ensuring that you get a secret movie, you're ensuring that the millions of Star Wars faithful will also get this great
Can we guess
experience.
Before you say? And don't exaggerate. I need to know a real number you're willing to get, but I'm going to take a guess. It's a lot because, other than maybe Marcus's family, this is probably the most important thing to Marcus. I'm not kidding. He loves Star Wars. And by the way, everybody has their Star Wars. Some people have sports. I'm not belittling it. But Star Wars is probably, Marcus, you don't have a faith, correct? So basically, Star Wars is the second most important thing in your life. Is that correct?
Well, keep in mind, I saw the first one when I was 7. I went to the first showing. My mother took me. It was one of those experiences you have, you know, with a parent, and it was something that we bonded on. We went to go see, you know, Empire Strikes Back, first showing. We went to Return of the Jedi, first showing. And then I got it later in life, had the opportunity to get into the business and work for a company that made games based on Star Wars. So it's very much a part of my life and always has been. And the community of people who are fans of this, I think, are amazing. And the 501st is a huge example of that. And so, yeah, I would put up big dollars in order to make that happen.
Well, that's a nice little hint there. So
I say $100,000. That's my guess.
I don't think he has that to put up. I mean, maybe you're doing better than I think.
Well, you could borrow it. I guarantee his house is worth more than $100,000. Would he pay? Would he pay?
I'd like
$600 a month over the next 30 years to so people could see.
Hey, honey, we need to sell the house to Star Wars.
We're taking a home equity loan. So people can see the great Star Wars. I'm sticking with $100,000.
Okay, I'm gonna say $25,000.
Robbie,
$500,000, half a million.
If Robbie was smart, he would have gone with $25,001. But anyway, go ahead.
Robbie's actually closer because I would mortgage the house. I would empty the savings. I would tap the in-laws. I would do whatever I could to scrape up whatever money needed in order to pay that price tag. Absolutely.
So there are 8 Star Wars movies when this comes out. Don't count. I mean, you count Rogue One, I guess that makes there not 9 Star Wars movies. Okay.
Yeah.
So Rob, it would be the equivalent of us saying, how much would you pay? Cause there's been 45 Super Bowls or 50 Super Bowls, right? So how much would you pay for 5 Super Bowl victories? No, because when this movie comes out, for it to be epically great would be the equivalent of us winning 5 okay. Super Bowls.
Well, I'd pay everything I have, probably.
Yeah,
joy.
Yeah, I would bring a lot of money to win the next 5 Super Bowls.
That's the only way it's probably going to happen. So,
would you rather win 5 Super Bowls in a row, or would you rather the Nationals, the Caps, the Wizards, and the Redskins all win a championship in the same year?
I'd rather that the same year.
Yeah, me too. And that you lose a championship in that equation, but me too.
Yeah, no, but you have a year that you never forget.
No, Super Bowl. Who cares about hockey?
Well, that's, you don't root for any of the other teams. But I will say that if you think of the probability of those happening, you think about how the Redskins are playing right now, still, of at the beginning of every team season, the least likely to win a championship are the Washington Wizards. Of the four teams I just mentioned, I don't think it's close.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Caps and the Nats have been, you know, one or two of the best teams every year, and they haven't even really gotten that close. But
yeah, and if the Redskins didn't have injuries this year, yeah.
Yeah, but to win five, no team's ever won three in a row. So to win five in a row Super Bowls, that would be the greatest accomplishment in team sports history. Yeah. So that would...
Well, it wouldn't be the greatest accomplishment in team sports history because the you know, the Boston Celtics won, you know, 10 in a row or however many they won. So, you know...
Okay, I guess, well, yeah. But NFL, how about that?
Yes, it's not close, right.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Can I tell a quick story about a gift I got for... Okay, so, Dad, this is the end of the show. If you want to have your Christmas gift ruined, you can keep listening. I don't mind. But if you do care about being surprised, then stop listening. So, my parents are letting Katie and I stay there. By the way, we move in on the 26th with our shitty desk. It's going to be in there. And my parents have graciously allowed us to stay there for 3 months. And, you know, I mean, it saved us just thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, it's been a godsend. So my father, as we've mentioned on here before, watches television on what will be the equivalent of an overhead projector. It's the worst TV that anybody I know that has that lives today in today's technology. It is, hey, the TV is over a foot wide. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? These TVs do not exist. So I go to get him a TV, and I measure it, and I see how much is can go in there. And you can get a smart TV made by Insignia. Are you familiar with this brand, Robbie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we have one in our one of our downstairs rooms. I like it. It's a good product.
Explains your taste in tables.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I wanted to give Robbie an opportunity to shit on it. Because, you know, Robbie, actually, when we bought our new house, he goes, you'll never fit two cars in that garage. I mean, it's a two-car garage. He also goes, wait a minute, you got to go up and then down. I mean, literally, he just finds a way to just to get, you know, it doesn't matter. So I wanted to see if Robbie would shit on Insignia, but Marcus beat him to the punch. Either way, it's a smart TV, and it costs $199.99, okay? So... Anyway, so I walk into Best Buy, but we saw an ad online for $179.99 for a smart TV. It's a 40-inch. It'll fit in that little area that day. So perfect, right?
Yeah.
So we walk in, and we're looking at this TV. It says $199.99. It's $20 more. So we're like, oh, this must not be the right TV. And we say to this the sales guy, we go, hey, we're looking for a smart TV, but we saw one advertised for... $179.99. The guy goes, you can't buy a smart TV for less than $200. I go, well, the TV right here is $199.99. He goes, well, that'll never last. He literally said the TV that he sells won't last. I go, what? He goes, it won't last. I go, yeah, fuck you. I pick the TV up and I buy it. It's going to outlast my father. He's 75 years old on the 16th. It'll last. What, I mean, here's this guy. What a Scott Apple thing to do. He realized he fucked up, and instead of going, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that, he still needed to be right. So he shit on the TV that his store sells so he wouldn't be wrong about the cost of a smart TV.
All right, I'm already going to – this is. I already know what Mac Burson's going to say. He's going to say, Joe – readily and fully admits that by staying at Graham's house, that saved him thousands of dollars. He goes to buy a TV. The salesman said it's a piece of shit. He still buys it for
$199.99. Bingo!
That's true.
It's so true. But hey, Graham's birthday is coming up on the 16th. Happy birthday, Graham's. We've got a lot of murder mysteries coming up next week. Big week, the 19th, the DC Improv. It's going to sell out, I promise you, as will the Virginia Beach Funny Bone on the 22nd.
Yeah, and the probably Magoobies. The numbers are awesome. They're incredible. I'm very, very excited. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm a little worried. I was a little bit worried that close to Christmas. And man, the numbers are insane. Two weeks before both the DC Improv and the Virginia Beach show, 200 tickets are sold. Well, the DC Improv only seats 285. The Virginia Beach, what does it seat? 300?
Like 315, 320, something like that.
I mean, maybe. 100% we'll sell out those two shows. I'm super excited about that, especially since, you know, the one on 20, that's 3 days before Christmas. And then the Magoobies numbers are also great, and that's 2 days before Christmas. So, get your tickets.
A huge, huge week. Anyway, good show. We'll probably be back here in my house again next week until Joe finally moves into the new home. But until then, have a great week. See you guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.